Turn with me, if you would, in your scriptures to Luke chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 26 through verse 38. And hear now God's word. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And Jehovah God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. And the angel said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, a handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Lord, again we do thank you for this season where we celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. And so now, Lord, we thank you that at this time you truly did become man. You grew up as a young babe into a full man. And then, Lord, you began your ministry as John the Baptist, who we saw last week, would anoint you into your office of prophet, priest, and king. You would be a mediator for man. For those the Son who had given to you, you would also be their prophet, priest. You would be their king to rule over them. And so now let us bow before you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Beginning this morning, remember last week we saw that the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, went in to Zacharias when he was in the holy place. That is the portion of the temple which is just outside the Holy of Holies. And there he was putting incense on the altar, which was his duty. He speaks to him and tells him that his wife, Elizabeth, who has been barren all their life, and they are both now very old, shall conceive. Well, unlike Mary, he doubts. And before he comes out, the angel tells him, when this son is born, his name will be John, which means the one who has received grace of God. And Zacharias will be speechless until he is born. And now, after he leaves, after 6 months, the angel of the Lord comes back, and now he comes to Mary, who lives in Nazareth, where she is, again, engaged. We would say engaged. She's betrothed. She's betrothed to a man by the name of Joseph. And so we see that in verse 27 says, comes to a virgin and espoused to a man named Joseph. Now you have to remember that in this day and time of Jesus, to be espoused was to be married. Though the marriage had not been consummated, it was a public ritual whereby they would take vows of faithfulness to one another, And in the community and in the culture, they were considered husband and wife. In verse 19 of Matthew chapter 1, it says, Joseph was her husband, even before they had come together. And so we see the closeness, how it was now that she would conceive before they had actually completed their marriage vows and consummated them as husband and wife. And notice that it is Joseph who is also of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now remember, in the context of genealogies, there are two genealogies in the New Testament. One is in Matthew, and Matthew traces the lineage of Joseph through the house of David from Solomon. He is in the royal line of the kings. And this is very important. Matthew is a Jew. He follows through. The throne belonged to Joseph. However, in the book of Jeremiah, God had cursed Conaniah, who was basically one of the last kings of Israel. And in Jeremiah chapter 22, he curses that line, and from Conaniah on through the rest of history, there will never be a king to rule on the throne from the line of Conaniah, who is of the line of Solomon, from David. He's a king in the line of David, but now he will have no son. And again, we're not told exactly whether he actually had sons or they died, but nonetheless, he did have a daughter. And his daughter now will marry a man who is in the line of David, but he is not in the royal line. He is in the lineage. He's in the legal line in the sense that Nathan was the brother of Solomon. And now what happens is that Conaniah's next one who serves in his place adopts a man by the name of Zerubbabel to take his place. Zerubbabel is in the lineage of David. He's in the legal line, but he's not in the royal line. And now, as he is brought in, he will be accepted as the king of Israel, though in history he was not called a king, he was called a governor, as they returned from the 70 years captivity. But he was the legal king of Israel because he had been adopted by the line, the king who was in the line of David. Now, Joseph, again, is like Conaniah, not that he was wicked. Joseph is in the royal line, but God has said that royal line would no longer have a king. So when he marries Mary, he will adopt her son Jesus, who is in the line of Nathan, to become his son, and that makes Jesus in the royal line, places him by adoption in the royal line over the house of David. So you can see what's happening here as you look at what's going on. And so now, as we see it, the angel comes to her, and you'll notice this angel gives to her the same announcement or greeting that he gave to Zechariah. He says, Hail! That is like, greetings, sir. And so now she meets him and says, You are highly favored. Now this word is in the perfect tense, which is very important for us. When Jesus talks about the Lord having the Father given him his sheep, he uses the perfect tense. He means that you have given to them in the past, and they are still my sheep. There is a continuousness of it. It's something done in the past that continues into the future. This word here given to her, he says, you have been, again, favored by God. You are highly favored. It's in the passive tense, which means the emphasis is on God is the agent of this grace that she's been given that will continue and is continuing. And so, as he tells her that, he says, The Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women. Notice, he says here, he doesn't say over women, among women. And I think God, and He's doing this with her, is referring back all the way to Genesis. Remember, it was Eve who had sinned first. She had literally brought sin into the world. Adam's, again, brought sin upon the world and brought judgment on the world because he was the one who was representing his wife and all of his seed afterward him. And he says, she will be blessed. Now, the Catholic Church believes that that means that she became a mediator between God and man. She's the Queen of Heaven. She is basically perfect. And so, again, when they teach about the Immaculate Conception, they mean Mary was without sin too. But that is not what God is saying. She received grace. He will say that down in verse 30. You have found favor. Who else found favor? Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And Mary is blessed now because she will become the mother of the Son of God who will take flesh upon Him. She does not become the mother of God. Though we can say because Jesus is God from conception and even before conception, but in His humanity, when He's conceived, He's still the God-man. And so she is bearing, not bringing to birth God, but she is bearing the God-man who is God and man. One God in two distinct natures, and what can be said of one can be said of the other. So we can say and use the words that Mary was bearing God in her womb in the fact that she was bearing the man, Jesus of Nazareth. And so now she is blessed. We can imagine what that means. She was the woman who God was talking about in the garden when He says, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. And in crushing his head, the seed of the woman's heel will be bruised. Now God is completing His promise thousands of years before in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And now Mary is blessed among women, not because she was perfect. She found grace, just like Noah did. She was a sinner, just like every other person born of Adam. But God had separated her again from these others. And now she, this young girl, probably anywhere from 15 to 17, 18 years old, now will become the mother of the Son of God in the flesh. And so now, the angel calls her aside. You're highly favored, the Lord. And I believe he's using the word Jehovah. Jehovah is with thee. Blessed are you among women. You have God's favor. He's lifted you up. And remember, there was one other person, one other woman, who was called blessed among women. And her name was Jael. Remember, she puts a tent peg through the temples of Sisera, as he is in the battle with Israel, defeated, and he flees. Blessed. God was calling her blessed. Mary is blessed now. And above women, among women, and we might say above other women, because of what she does, not because of who she is. I think it's interesting to me that the word Mary comes from, and in the Hebrew, and in the Greek, literally the name is Miriam. That was Moses' sister. And the word Miriam means stubborn. And so now, why was her name stubborn? Now, stubborn does not always mean someone who's evil, bad, you know, just hard to get along with. Stubborn can mean I made up my mind and I'm not moving. And how many times in history have we seen men who are stubborn, who do not change, be the ones who lift us out of the mire? So Mary is one. She is going, and I think in some sense, we can say she is. When she hears God, she says, God is God. I'll believe Him. And I'm not going to move from that. We see in this story, we kind of compare her with Zechariah, the man of God, the priest of God, the one who is the father of John the Baptist. He fears and he has doubt. I don't think we see anything here of doubt. We see troubled mind. We see a struggle with trying to understand what is happening to her. But she doesn't change her view of God. Whatever he says, whatever he does, that's God's right. And I am his servant. And so now we see her. And it says, and when she saw him, she was troubled. She saw the angel. Now, I don't know how Gabriel differed from seeing a person, a man. The name Gabriel means man of Jehovah or of God. He presented himself probably like the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. And he appeared to be a man. But she knew there was something different about him as he comes before her and with this message. And it says, and she was troubled at his saying, you're blessed. You have found grace. You have been highly blessed and graced by God. That's God's unmerited favor. You've been chosen out of all the other women in history up to that point. God has favored you. And again, remember, that's unmerited favor. The root word in that word is grace. You've been graced, as it were. And she's troubled in mind, and notice, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She is sitting back and thinking about this, and her mind is kind of, you know, it's probably racing to and fro, trying to get a hold on it so she can get herself under control. Not doubting what the angel says, but confused. Why would an angel come to me? I think she's kind of looking at. Look, listen what he's just told me. And she's trying to get a hold of this situation. And now notice again, the angel calms her. He says, fear not, Mary. Fear not, Mary. Remember when he said that to Zacharias, it didn't make Zacharias any more calm. It didn't change his doubts to be able to say, whatever God says, that's what truth is. Now, Mary, again, is different. And so he says, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor. Whatever God blesses us with, that's because we have found favor in his eyes. And that favor is not because of something in us that shows us that we're good people. Favor is God's unmerited. It's for those whom he owes nothing to, who have done nothing to deserve what he gives to us, but now he comes. She finds favor. She was a woman just like any other sinful woman and man who was a seed of Adam. She was a woman of godliness. We see that when next week we look at her Magnificat. That's the song that she sings when she learns more about Christ and who he is. I mean, the passages that she knows and her knowledge of Scripture we see in her. She was not an unusual Jewish girl or boy at this time because they studied the Scripture. They knew the Scriptures. They recited the Psalms, sang the Psalms. And so, in that sense, she knew her Scripture. And as he speaks to her and speaks of her, a favor and grace of God and the blessing of God, she understands what he's saying. She knows the history, how God blessed Israel. And so now, he says, but you have found favor with God. This coming from an angel is different from me telling her, you found grace in God's eyes. Anything good that comes to us is God's grace. But she understands now at least one thing, that God has set her apart for something she doesn't know yet. But now notice as we come, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. This is the announcement to the Virgin Mary, who has no husband. Now, she has been betrothed. In that culture, it's equal to marriage. but they have had no relationships together, and they both know how children are born. And so now she's told, you are going to have a son. You shall conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And now notice, Jesus is his name. Again, she's one of three people in the Bible whose son was named before it was born. Remember Isaac in the Old Testament when Abraham is told he's going to have a son, and the angels tell Abraham, and they tell him, your wife will have a son about this time next year. And she laughs. And God tells him his name is going to be Isaac. She laughs in doubt. But when she calls him Isaac, which means laughter, joyousness. Joyousness such that you're jumping up and down and shouting and praising the Lord. Laughter, but laughter in a good sense. Rejoicing. We saw John the Baptist that we saw last week. 6 months before, Jesus, the angel tells him, your son, your wife Elizabeth, who has been barren all of her life, you both are now well beyond the age of having children. She's going to bear a son. And you will call his name John. I'll just jump ahead a little bit. 6 months, now 3 months from this date, she will have a son. Zacharias has not been able to speak now for this 9 months that she's been carrying her son. The people understood it when he came out of the temple. Remember, he was stuck behind the curtains for so long, they begin to wonder. Then he comes out and he can't do anything but stammer and wave his hands. Now, when this son of his is born, everybody's saying, now we're going to name him Zacharias after his father, which was a cultural tradition in those days. And Elizabeth said, no, his name's going to be John. And now for the first time in 9 months, Zacharias says, his name shall be called John. And now Jesus will be called Jesus. John means blessed of God or God's graciousness. Jesus means salvation is of Jehovah. Same as the word Isaiah among the prophets, his name means God is Savior, or God saves. Joshua, God saves. As a matter of fact, Joshua is the Hebrew for the Greek Jesus or Yesu. Joshua and Yesu. And so, God is salvation. This is the blessing. She is going to bring salvation of God for all those the Father has given to the Son before the foundation of the world. He's come to save His people from their sins. And so now we see as this word is open to her. And he says again, and now he's going to give further illustrations and pictures of who he is. Who is this one she's giving birth to? This one born of her is a special one. His name is Jesus. He's going to be a Savior. He's going to be Son of the Most High. Literally it says in verse 32, and he shall be great and shall be called Son Highest. The Greek doesn't have the other words that we have in the English. Which means it draws a focus on this one that you're giving birth to is Son Highest. He's all glorious. He's supreme. He is God. And so He is. He's the Son of the Highest. Then the Highest, again, Son of God is what He is. But He's God. He's Son Highest. He's God the Most High. But He's the Son of the Father. And notice, and the Lord, that is a God, shall give unto Him the throne of His father David. Think about it. Jewish women at that time were hoping they would bear Messiah, who would be the Son of God. He would be the deliverer of Israel. We find in this particular period of time. there was an overabundance of boys, but with the name of Joshua for the Hebrews, Jesus for the Greek. Kind of an expectation. But now Jesus, who is the Savior, is going to be born of this one woman, Mary. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. That was the greatness. Every Jew was looking for David to become again the king, the Messiah who would sit on the throne and rule from Jerusalem. Remember in 2 Samuel, there as David is dying and God had told him, he cannot build a temple, but his son Solomon will. And God tells him there that he will give him the throne of his son David. He will give him a kingdom which he shall rule over forever. If you look at verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of the kingdom of his kingdom there shall be no end now. Notice what he said. The kingdom of Jacob. Remember, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. When we come to the New Testament, we find again, as David's throne comes forth and Christ is the king upon the throne, he rules all over all the nations. And already in the Old Testament, God has promised Abraham that out of him will come many nations and kings and princesses. He will rule all over all the world. His seed will be as numbered as the sands upon the seas and the stars in the heavens. And so he will rule all nations. And we find in Scripture again that God has promised. And He's told us, well, the promise of Abraham was that Jesus Christ, who is Mary's son, is the fulfillment of the new covenant, the covenant that God had made with Abraham with all the blessings. The addition to that covenant comes again when Moses comes and there is again that covenant in which he shows forth the law of God. The ceremonial law by which God shows them how He is going to save them. He gives them pictures and shadows and types. These literary forms that we would say. That lamb that they kill every day in Israel after the Passover. And Moses takes the people out. That is the Lamb of God, which this Lamb of the Passover is a picture and type of the real Lamb which God will bring into the world to save His people by the sacrifice of Himself. Jesus is the real prophet. Remember we said last week that Elizabeth was Mary's mother's cousin. Therefore, Jesus has a connection with the priesthood. Remember, Levi paid tithes to God through Melchizedek while he was still in the bowels of Abraham when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Because the priesthood that is established in Moses is only a picture and a type. Christ is a real priest after the order of Melchizedek. All the priests of Levi are only shadows and pictures and types of the real priesthood of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was the king and priest of peace and of righteousness. And so when she's hearing all this, he was a king in his household and he was the son of David. And see, David's kingship, which was the promised kingship over Israel, was only a type of the reality of the priesthood of what Christ was, the Son of God, the ruler of all things, the maker of all things. And now notice, he tells her, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob. That means the Gentiles. All those who can by faith receive Christ, as Paul says, he who believes and trust as faithful Abraham is the son of Abraham. By faith, we are the children of Abraham. As Isaac was, we are the children of promise. Because God has already promised His Son a people of His own from before the foundation of the world in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. And now God is beginning to work that out as Moses was worshiping. Remember in the book of Acts, Luke says they worshiped God in the church in the desert. There is but one church, Christ Himself. And John has said, there are two flocks and I will make them one. The Gentiles and the Jews. We are engrafted into the church in Romans 11. Ephesians chapter 2, he tells us, we were outside the covenants and the promise of God. That is salvation. But he says, now are we made nigh in the blood of Christ. And so again and again, we see these pictures for us. Jesus is the Son of David. He's also the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And of His kingdom, there will be no end. There will be no end to it. It doesn't stop. It is an eternal kingdom which He rules over. And Mary is bringing this one who will accomplish all these things into being as a man. And now notice, how shall it be? Now notice Mary. Now she's pondering. She's stubborn. She's not losing her faith in God. These things may blow her mind away in our vernacular. But she doesn't doubt what God can do. Zacharias had many doubts. I'm too old. My wife's too old. I mean, we're past anything in our life. We're too old for everything. There's no way. And he doubted. This can't be. Not her. Oh, she had questions. Her mind was troubled. But remember one of the little phrases about Mary when all these things begin to happen as he's a young child? It says, and Mary hid these things in her heart and she pondered them. Luke goes to Mary after the fact. Remember, Paul comes in after the resurrection, but he sees the risen Christ. Luke follows him around and he writes this book of Luke. He writes the book of Acts and he is a Gentile. He's one that God blesses and calls him a son of Abraham by faith. And he seems to be the one. Remember, he was a doctor. He was meticulous in everything he did. It appears that he went to Mary and probably spent much time with her gathering his information about her son, Jesus. And so now she's pondering these things. You see, she's got that mind. It's inquisitive. She wants to know things. But she doesn't doubt God. And he says again, she asked, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She understands life. She understands, as Joseph does, about how children are born. Remember in Matthew, Joseph had found out that she was pregnant. We don't know if she told him or what happened that she found out and somebody else told him. We just know he was pondering because he loved her, he cared for her, but she was pregnant. And how he could put her away in such a way it wouldn't cause a stir and it wouldn't affect her. He was worried about her. So we see now, she's thinking about those type of things too. What is everybody going to say? She shall conceive. Let me just read you a quote from A.W. Pink on this very issue. He says, the humanity of our Lord was miraculously begotten. It was intrinsically holy in its nature and therefore saw no corruption in death. Remember, the psalmist says, there will be no corruption. His body will not see corruption. He was born as none other ever was. He lived as none other ever did. And He died as none other ever could. Just remember, everything that came into Christ, Jesus, the Son of Mary, the physical Son, Jesus of Nazareth, was for a purpose. We talk about a purpose-driven life, as many people talk about. This man, Jesus of Nazareth, had more purpose in life than anyone who was ever born of a woman or born of Adam. any sinful man could ever have. He was driven to keep the law of God for us, to be perfect under it, every jot and every tittle, we're told. He comes to keep every part of it. And then He comes, after doing so and being declared to be righteous, to go to the cross to take our penalty of death upon Himself, to be raised into glory, all to fulfill the will of His Father in heaven. And so now, He will be born. She will conceive in her womb and bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Jesus, the Savior of the world, Jesus. And He shall be great and shall be called the Son of God. But now notice, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now remember, we've been talking in Genesis. We've been talking about the power of the Holy Spirit in creation. Remember, the Father was in some sense the administrator in creation. The Son was the one by whom all things were created. The Word of God. Remember in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. By Him were all things created. We're talking about all the material creation was made by Him. And that material was held together, as Colossians says. All things are held together by Him. But now when it comes to life in the economy of the Trinity, the Father is the administrator, the overseer. The Word is the creator. And now the Holy Spirit is the one who comes to make and animate everything. He animated the trees that were planted and the fruit that was on the tree and all the things that had life in them. He is the life giver of all things. He breathed into man and man became a living soul. It is He who was the one who guides life. It was He the one who was the light in the desert, in the clouds by the Holy Spirit's guiding them by His brightness and His power as He works. It is He who is given the right and the privilege to make the Word of God alive. He spoke and it was done, the life. He, again, moved. It says, the Bible was written by holy men as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It is a book that is alive, and it is by the Word of God that salvation comes to man. By the living Word, it is the Holy Spirit in the Word that conceives us as a new creature in Christ. And we become a new creature by the Holy Spirit's power and might. It is the Holy Spirit that will raise dead men in again the second coming, when the Lord comes back to raise all those that are His from the grave to be with Him. Again, the writer Ezekiel, when he goes to the valley of dry bones, he's commanded by God. And the Spirit comes and it says, and those dry bones form sinew, the tendons, the muscles. And by the power of Him, all those bones became raised up as men, alive. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. He's moved by the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth is told she will conceive in her womb and her son will be filled with the Holy Spirit. She is filled with the Holy Spirit in her birth of John. She conceives a real man by her husband, but he's filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb and continuously, as we said last week. Different than any other prophet. Maybe there's not a difference between him and Enoch and Elijah because neither one of them saw death. But they were not sinless. John the Baptist is not sinless. But he's filled with the Holy Spirit because he must day after day after day proclaim Christ, because he's the one who comes to make the way straight and level so men can come to him. And he's baptizing these people for the remissions of sin daily, preparing them to meet Christ. And remember, that's where he meets the first five disciples, there as they are followers of John. And John declares, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." John is filled with the Holy Spirit, born again in the Holy Spirit. Now Mary is touched by the same Holy Spirit, but without anything that has to do with a physical man who is the seed of Adam. The Holy Spirit actually brings forth the life of Jesus as a man in her womb. The very Holy Spirit that breathed into man life and he became a living soul. He again touches her womb. She brings forth Jesus. And remember, her ancestry with her father and her mother. Her father is of the line of Nathan. He's a son of David also. And now she is born a daughter of Judah, and she has the blood of Levi, and they join together in this man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And again, he is the high king. He is the high priest, of which all those in Moses' law were only pictures of the real, showing forth what would be. And so again, and he said, "The Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And now the angel tells her, your cousin Elizabeth is getting ready to deliver. She's in her 6th month. And he commands her to go in the power of God. She's blessed. And now, he says, notice, this is what Gabriel says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Remember, the angels told Abraham that. "For with God nothing is impossible." And now she goes and she calls herself. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed. In other words, she was saying, whatever God does is what I'll do. Whatever he commands, that's what I'll do. I don't know what the people will do with all these people. If they find I'm pregnant, they will slander me. Who knows what they may do in the end? They don't know what they'll do with the sheep. She says, if God does it, it'll be done. And I am only his servant. That's what we are. The servants of the high God. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Bless us this day in Jesus' holy name. Amen.